So, hi there. Welcome, everybody. My name is Heike Ritter. I'm from Germany. I'm with Microsoft. And my topic today is Windows apps in the cloud. Azure Remote App, it's in preview at the moment. all my slides, some of them, they have the word preview because I think we are still changing a lot until it gets general available. But I will show you how it works so far and what the benefits are. So I'm impressed how many people are here. So thank you for coming and joining me for the session because it's a topic, quite different to all the other topics here at the System Center universe. And that's amazing to see many people here attending the session. So first of all, I know it's a. I should go deeper later. I do this, but my start will be explain a little bit why we invented or why we designed Azure Remote App, what the challenges are. I think you know better than me what your challenges are, but we talk with customers as well and we hear what the challenges are. So one is, of course, delivering also have many different devices, mobile users. Mobile users means they bring probably different platforms in the environment and they want to access line of business applications. Maybe also just Office or something that is not available on the platform. And want to maybe respond quickly to the change in your company. So if I think back at Microsoft, for example, we acquired Skype and Nokia, and we had thousands of new employees, and we had to onboard them and let them in our new environment and give them access to a line of business applications so that they have to become productive immediately and get our resources, get our insights and everything. Maybe vendors, so we work a lot with vendors and they need access to Office applications as well as a line of business applications that we have only in our environment. And maybe you want to reduce the infrastructure costs because if you think about remote desktop deployment, for example, you need to think about the scale, you need to plan a little bit the capacities, as well as access or provide access to your corporate data, like SQL Server, file share server, something like that. And yes, this because of this, we invented Azure Remote App. Azure Remote App combines the Windows app experience and the benefits of Azure cloud services means so we have already developed remote desktop services for a long time, or we have this in place already, and we of course we developed a lot, so we made improvements with experience for the users as well as for the monitoring and managing remote desktop services, and now we brought this service in the cloud means remote applications that you define. So we have two different deployment options. I will go to this later. But we can either have default applications like Office, or you can also bring your own line of business applications all from the cloud. For the user, it's just the user has to install an RDP client. And as you may know, it's the same protocol and everything that works also in your own infrastructure. It's a client, the user connects to it, and then the user sees all the application that you published for him. The remote desktop protocol, it's stable. It's a VAN-ready remoting protocol, so it means it resists for network latencies and. Then scale out, I think this is one of the most or the core benefits of remote app because you don't have to care about the scale, about the infrastructure. When users come in, more machines get spin up. If users log off, the machine shut down and you don't have to pay for the environment that is not being used at the moment. You don't have to think about capacity planning because when the user come up, new machines get spin up, and if they go down, the machine retires. It's all about it's all remote desktop session host environment, so they have a virtualized environment, a virtualized session. if you are familiar with the on-premise remote desktop services, I think you know how it works with the virtual disks that we attach for the user profiles, for the hard disk and everything. So this is a similar experience here. It's flexible because you can integrate the Azure Remote App service in your own on-premise network, or you can only go for the cloud deployment option. So let's talk about a little bit in detail about the two deployment options, or probably a three. So cloud deployment means there's a default image that is available for you. It's a Windows Server 2012 R2, and it has Office 2012 installed. So all the applications that you know that are inside the Pro Plus version are available, pre-installed. It's a rapid provisioning. Rapid means like up to 30 minutes. So this is why I deployed something already up front so that I can show you how it works, but I will also walk you through the process how you usually would start with it. The operating system as well as the applications are maintained by us. So it means you don't have to care about updates and something like that. It's always as it is with a cloud service, it's always the latest, newest version. If a user is using it, the user can use it until he logs out, and then the next time he signs in, he will get the new provisioned updated version. There's an anti-malware as well, so Microsoft anti-malware available. You don't have to care about that as well. You can assign users with a Microsoft account, or you have the possibility to federate with your own identity and then use DirSync if you want, and let the user use their corp credentials to sign into this service. But if I think about vendors or some temporary stuff, I think it's a great idea to just ask them to create a Microsoft account, and then they can access Word, Excel, Outlook, Internet Explorer on an iPad or an Android device, and use those applications. The second option is a hybrid deployment, means the machines that get spin up, so you provide the image first of all. So you build the image, you install everything you need on the image, all the applications you want to publish, and then you have to generalize this image. You will see there's a little bit more configuration needed because it's a site-to-site VPN that is required from the Azure remote service to your on-premise network. And all the machines that the users are using, or let's say the machine that gets spun up to get to let the users access the applications, are domain joined. So and then you can think further, you can have all your management services that you use on-premise on those machines as well, like root policy, so they really conform what you have on your on-premise network. You are responsible for the image though. So it means updates and everything needs to get maintained by yourself. It's not that easy, like cloud service, I don't have to care about any security updates or something. This is something you have to do. If you want to provision a new application, you can just upload a new service or create a new service, remote app service, or you can update the template at all. It's a full access to your on-premise network because of the site-to-site VPN network that we built up before. And users can use the corporate credentials to log in. So because the site-to-site VPN is there and it's the AD sync is required. Both deployment options are based on Windows Server 2012 R2, session virtualization. You have the dynamic scalability on both scenarios as well, because also the hybrid scenario, if more than five users accessing the service, another machine will spin up and you can, and the sixth users will log on to this machine. And then as soon as the sixth user is on this machine, a third machine gets spun up, so in case there are more people coming, so that the provisioning or the access for the users is really fast. Global presence, at the moment we have three locations, two in the US, two in Europe, and two in East Asia. High fidelity with remote desktop protocol. everything is still on Azure, so nothing gets transferred to the client. So it's a remote desktop protocol. Means it's secure, it's protected, it's encrypted. The data, if the data is in your on-premise network, it still remains in your on-premise network. So nothing gets transferred to the client itself. And there are clients at the moment for Windows, Mac, iOS, and Android devices, more to come. So we are, of course, thinking about other device types as well. So I think let's have a look at the remote cloud deployment, how it looks like from an architecture perspective. So this is the remote app service. So you have the remote session host there. As I was saying, usually there are two already spun up in case more than five users are coming. The first five users are going to the first session host, the next five to the second one. As soon as one person is logged on the second one, the third one gets spun up. You have Office and Windows Server and all the applications available. Of course, we do have Calculator you can publish and Paint, so all the other awesome Windows applications you really need. But by default, those five applications are already published, but you can, of course, remove Excel if you don't want it. So the user signs in, uses RDP connection. The user also at the beginning, so this is still preview, we're figuring out what the best option is. The user has 50 gig of data that is stored in Azure as well, so he can save files there on a hard disk. The authentication is either a Microsoft account, as I was saying, or an Active Directory account. And optional, you can use DirSync if you want also Azure to be able to authenticate the user if you don't go for the federated identity option. That's the cloud deployment. And I think let's switch to a demo. So this is my Azure subscription. Actually, I think it's Rasmus, right? Bongo, is you? Yeah, okay. So in the preview, at the moment, you're only able to create two remote app services. And because I want to show you how the hybrid works, how the other one works, and how this one works, and I only have two, so I asked him to give me his subscription, so I'm using his subscription for now, and then I go to my hybrid deployment as well. I think in the preview, it's 10 users or 20 users per service that you can use. It's for free. You have to sign up for it. So if you want to try it out, you can click on New App Services, and then this one will be grayed out for you, and then you can just click on apply for the preview. You will be forwarded to another portal, and then you can apply for the preview. So quite simple. And here it's already available. I go for the quick create at the moment, so it means I can just say my Office apps. You choose a region, I go for the Western Europe region, and then you can see the template. So this is the basic default template that is available. You click on it, you click on create, and then it goes. It takes, as I was saying, it can take up to 30 minutes. I created one already, you can see it here. So this is what happens now, it's creating, and after 1 minute it says provisioning now, and it takes some while. So when it's provisioned, this is what you can do on a cloud-only deployment. You have published remote app programs, which applications from this image you want to publish to your users, and then configure user access. The same options are available here. User access means here are all the users, and you can then easily add another Microsoft account email address. The service will verify it. So for example, if I would now try to use my Microsoft account, my corp, sorry, it's a little bit confusing. It will say, sorry, oh no, it works because we have a federation. Let's say something like this. it will then tell me, sorry, that's not possible because the user has to be or federated or be in your default directory. So, and this one is not. And here, here are all the applications that are already published. So usually that's that are all the Office applications, Word, Visio, Project, as I was saying. I can then click on Publish. Publish from a start menu. You can also use a path if you know that the application is available on the machine, but not through the start menu here, for example, like a command line, I think. And then I go for like calculator and media player and okay. So, and then the user, so the two users that I have configured here, it's myself and a demo account, can then start the remote desktop client, click on the subscriptions, and then see, okay, you are now assigned to the subscription My Office Apps, and can easily open the apps. And that is what I'm going to show you with an iPad. Mm-hmm. Close your eyes. So, okay, the first thing the user has to do is to go to this website. Usually I think you will send them out an email like here, please install the client, go for it. I created an aka.ms/getclient. It was still free, it's my one now, and it points to this address. And the website immediately recognized if you are on an iPad or an Android or a Windows tablet and then says, okay, download the remote desktop for iPad, iPhone. I already did that. And this is how it looks like. It says, okay, it's lonely here. There's no subscription. There's nothing. I can go on the plus and add a Microsoft app. I go and click on IT Camp. Isn't it? IT Camper at outlook.com. Yeah, you don't think that I'm here creating like crazy passwords and everybody can see them, no. Oh, did I click on assign? I think so. Yes, it's this one, okay. Because the user is assigned to the other environment as well. But here you can see the work resource, it's a calculator, Excel, media player. This are the application that I just published. And the user can then click on the calculator and work on a Windows calculator on an iPad. It's awesome. Come on. Maybe he can. Preview. Yay! So you can see that the session, so as a normal remote desktop session, everything happens now, like the user gets logged in, the settings. This is actually interesting. If you work on in a hybrid environment, I'm talking about this later, but if you are working in a hybrid environment, you can, here we go. You can use UEV as well, so user experience virtualization. You can install the client, and then all the settings the user has for its Word, for its Excel, or whatever, are still available to the user, even if the user accessed this application through the cloud. It's amazing. So, okay, if the user wants to open another... What? What? This was feedback from Apple users that they never, never, ever use the 9 button. They don't need a 9. Shit. Who needs a 9? So, I like that. So, okay. I will forward this feedback to the product group. So if the user wants to open another application, the user clicks on the work resources. He can then see here all the open applications, but as I've opened only one, I click on the start menu, and I can see all the other applications that got provisioned to me. So now, I click on Excel. Excel will start. Maybe Excel has a 9. And after a while, so it takes a little bit, but then as soon as the application is open, you can then switch between the application quite easy. So I think for a user, I think as an admin, it's like, oh, that doesn't look really sexy. But it's the user, it's really simple for the user. Just click on the apps on the icons, and then the user can switch between the different applications. The license is still open, so how we will license the users and the services. But when the user, so if you publish an office to the user is allowed to use the office. So there's no extra special license needed, or the user needs to use his own license or something. This is licensed with a service. When we know more about the license, I think this will be announced. Good. This was the default rapid deployment option. Let's go back. So, and you can see that this is still provisioning. So, but if it's done, it will have the same options that I showed you just earlier. So now I'm going back first to my slides, and then afterwards again to the demo. Yeah, I showed you this as well. So hybrid cloud deployment. The benefits is that you have a federated identity. So the you have the core technology, of course, is Azure AD. And I think there was a session already, or there will be a session maybe tomorrow or later, I don't know, about hybrid identity and possibilities with Azure AD. So it's really a big product and really a lot of additional possibilities you can have with Azure AD. Azure AD means you are using the sync tool, the Deer Sync tool, to synchronize your on-premise users to the cloud. And Azure AD is in control, also is about to control user access and enable you to use single sign-on if you want, and the user uses their own corp credentials. Hybrid networking. Hybrid networking means, as I was saying, you have a site-to-site VPN connection, and remote app virtual networks built on the Azure networking, and you have then seamless access to your corporate identity. And then at least the hybrid management, as I was saying, you have all the on-premise capabilities that you can use in the cloud as well, like the machines are domain joined, policies, security policies, everything conform to your on-premise network. The architecture looks like this. You still have this elastic runtime, and the session host can spin up two machines. As soon as you configure the hybrid deployment, you will see two machines in your on-premise network and Active Directory, because two machines are already spun up up front. Same as on the cloud deployment, as soon as the sixth user logs on to the second machine, the third machine gets spun up. Then you have your corporate apps, you have still persistent user data in the cloud, and all your applications. Authentication is now Deer Sync. So not the authentication, so the authentication is your Active Directory AD, or federated with ADFS, and then the authentication goes to your on-premise network. You have access to your files and your line of business applications, because here is the VPN. Those two machines are domain joined, so when you set it up, you have to provide credentials of a user that is able to domain join machines. Usually, every user can domain join up to 10 machines, I think. You don't want to change this every 2 weeks, so then you should grant this user permissions to domain join more than just 10 computers. Good. So AD, VPN, the domain join functionality, and of course, a Windows server and your own custom image. So before I go to the demo of the hybrid deployment, I want to show something that has just been, I think, released 1 or 2 weeks ago, is the possibility to also use the cloud deployment with your own image. So you don't have to only publish Word and Excel and stuff like that. You can use your own corporate image, but it's not the main joint, of course. So it's just a Windows Server template with applications that you have installed in it, upload it to the cloud, and you know if you upload something to Azure, it doesn't cost anything, only if you take something out of the cloud, this is what we ask you money for. So, remote app. This is my cloud image. And you can see it's the same two buttons. But because I uploaded an image, I have the possibility to create a quick with... Wait. Come on. It's already used. Okay, so usually... No, it's not, sorry. Western Europe. No, here we go. And then you can see my hybrid image that is a VHD that I uploaded. So generalize and everything. And I can grant users access. I can publish different apps. And you can see, for example, in my image, I just installed a Notepad++ because it's quite easy. But you can see how it works. If I click on publish, from the start menu, you can also see that it's not the basic image that provides Office because there's no Office on it at all. And that works as same mechanism, but just it's a customized image from you, so you have to maintain it. If there's an update, you have to roll out the updates. You can see the button here, update. Update means click on it, which template do you want to update, and then you have two options for the users. Give the users some minutes to sign out, and then the service gets updated, or cut all the connections and the user has no chance. This is, I think, something if you really have a security problem and you really have to update right now, then you don't care about anything else just to get the update applied. So this is this one. Okay, let's go now to the hybrid deployment. Hybrid deployment is this one. You just give a name to it, and then it gets created. Nothing is, add here. But then, as soon as the deployment has been created, it looks like this. And you have a little bit more to configure. First of all, you have to connect your remote app service to a VPN, so to a network, to a virtual network, actually. And I will talk about this a little bit later, because now I can't click on it. It makes no sense. Then you get a script. The script is for your gateway, your on-premise gateway, and then you can run the script and configure your the other side of the VPN. You get a key, you can manage the keys here. You have to provide credentials, who is able to join all the session hosts to your domain. Then you link to an image. This is something that is quite interesting. You click on it, it gives you a PowerShell script, and another PowerShell script that gets that you have to download. So this script just saw the other one, ask you which VHD you want to upload, and then something happens on your machine. And if you look at the script a little bit more in details, you can see that it modifies something at the registry and on your file system, but not on your file system, so on the virtual machine. It mounts the virtual machine and then starts to do all the necessary stuff that is required for having the image ready for the cloud. And then again, you publish your remote programs and you configure user access. This is something, it's an ongoing process, so this is why those buttons are still green and you can still change this. It's the same image that I just uploaded with which I just showed you for the other deployment. Means there is Notepad, published, Paint, PowerShell, and stuff like that. In my environment, I have to admit that I couldn't change my DNS record for now to get the completely federated experience. But what I did is, just maybe you want to try this out as well, and I know from other people, oh, I don't have a public IP address that I can use, I can't really build a VPN connection to my on-premise network because of whatever. And you can use Azure to completely set it up in a demo environment. This is what I did. I created a network. This is my on-prem network. My on-prem network, if you look at it, has like 8.0 as a private network. I configured my DC with a static IP address with PowerShell, and I connected this network to my remote app local network that I created as well. This is this one. This one has the IP address, I think it's 0. You can't see it from here, wait a second. Yeah, 0, so they are on a different network, of course. Then I created a cloud service and the domain controller, of course, and they are in this cloud service and assigned to this virtual network. After that, So it takes a while usually until you get your gateway provisioned and everything. If you click on create gateway and then you have the IP address, you have to configure the other side again with the gateway so that they know each other where the two sides of the VPN. And after that, I think it should be saying it's connected. And then when I now create the rest of the remote app hybrid deployment, it spins up two machines. If I look at my domain controller, so this is my DC1 on-premise cloud app, so the one that I just showed you, you can see here that in my computers are two machines. So those are created from the remote app service. You can configure which organization unit you want to use so that the machines get created in or provisioned in. And because I haven't signed in with more than 6 users, there are only 2 servers available. Good. So let's have a look at the users. Line of business apps. User access. So this is what I was saying because my domain is hridder.de, but it's not federated at the moment. I couldn't change the DNS within those days. And this is what the Azure AD creates for me, because my tenant or my Azure subscription is my name, heikeritter.outlook.com, and this is then what the user has to use as a sign-in process. I go back to my iPad. And me. Outlook fehlt, ne? Danke. Wegschauen. No. So yeah, and this other application I showed you earlier are published to this BitUser. If I would then open those applications, it would open the application on a server that is domain joined to your environment and has access to all the other resources in your environment. So I think this is a great opportunity to simply provide applications access to your on-premise network to users that are either using whatever device, because the remote desktop client is available for almost any device or any platform that is out at the moment. There are applications that are not available for Android or for an iPad, and you use them as your line of business applications. And I think that's a great opportunity without caring or without making any decisions on expanding your own infrastructure and providing access to your infrastructure on premise and open the gate. Good. Let's go back. So, how is this, the templates? It's still uploading. I think it's not. Usually you click on upload, you provide a name. You pick a region. And you have seen when I created the cloud app service or the apps and remote app service at all, if you don't pick the right location, you don't see all the images. So you need to know where the users are signing in from. At the moment, so I know that the product group is asking for feedback, how you, for example, would think about a user experience if a user is a traveler, for example, and signs in this region and then in the other region, because now the sessions are stable. So in case the user signs out and signs in from another device, he still gets back to his previous session and has everything open. But if the user travels around the globe and he is not using the Western Europe data center because he's traveling somewhere else, for example, and you provide another service there, he won't get his session. So if you have feedback on that, if you want to, if you think about a good way how to solve this challenge, let us know, because we are at the moment still in preview and collecting feedback. Printing is available for the printers that are attached to the client, and the client can see the printers. So this one is working. USB redirection is not working. There are no GPUs at the moment in the data centers, but probably we are hopefully working on that as well, because there are some applications that need it. If you have one of those applications, for example, I think they might start up and then fail, or maybe they don't even start at all. This is something you have to figure out, or you have to test and see what the outcome is, and please provide feedback. As I was saying, UEV is working. I don't know, how many of you are using UEV, user experience virtualization? Okay, only a few people. I think it's a great experience for the user, and you get rid of the challenges that you have with user profiles. Never use both. So user experience virtualization is, I think, a great technology to really only transfer the bits the user needs at the moment, and the user is used to have his customized office ribbon. And now when he starts using an iPad to use his office, he can still have the same customized ribbon that he knows from the office, for example. Great experience. The data as well, so the disk that is attached, the VHD with the user documents, content, of course, is also provisioned or attached to the next, or available in the next session that the user opens. So I click on next. What happens now is that, as I was saying, it provides me with a script that I have to copy. This one, and this one is the one I have to save. And if you open PowerShell and go through it, you can actually see what happens. What I tried was, because I have an existing Azure environment already with some VHDs that I have generalized, and I wanted to easily move it from one storage account to the next. This is possible, but you have to change the script. So now the script downloads the VHD from the cloud to my laptop and then upload it again. So this is not really what I wanted, because I wanted to save the time of uploading and downloading. And then, yeah, you can change the script, use a different command, and then transfer it directly from one storage account to the other one, if you are familiar with how that works. So this is the image. As I was saying, generalized, and if you're familiar with the remote desktop at all, the image has to have the remote desktop services installed with the user experience, I think it was, and what else? I think that's it. And then the application that you need, and generalized sysprep use. Good. Virtual networks. This is how you create one. This is how you manage the keys, how you download the script and attach it to your service. And yes, I think that's it for now. Let's go back. Yep. So patching. I think I mentioned it already. So the cloud deployment is automatically maintained. Always the latest version. If you don't want it, you have to create your own image. And because this is now possible, since I think 1 or 2 weeks, you can upload your own image with your office that you want without a patch or without something else. At the moment, also the office, of course, that is in the cloud, you can't add any like third-party applications or something in the office. If you have this need, you have to bring your own image. Hybrid deployment, it's under your control. The update, you have to upload again another VHD if you want to update the applications, or use other technologies like System Center, Config Manager to install applications, update those applications, or update your operating system. Because the VHDs are created. The machines are in Azure. They are just suspended. So we are still talking about the same machines. They are not like getting deleted, and every time a user signs in, it starts from an image from the ground, from the basic. No, those two images, VHDs, are always there, and then you are just updating them with the application, with whatever. But if you want to create new applications or publish new applications, you have to bring a new template, because then you have the possibility to choose them from the start menu and provision them and publish them to the users. Yeah, you can upload a new one into the remote app services instance. Yep. So the two choices compared, I think the cloud deployment, there is no extra infrastructure required. There is no extra configuration with a VPN and stuff required, but you only have the application that are available in Windows Server and with Office 365. you can use easily Microsoft accounts. It's simple and quite perfect for vendors or other employees that join your company for maybe a temporary time. And it's quick and easy and globally available in three regions at the moment. The hybrid deployment, you can use your own image, your line of business applications, and it's domain joined and fully under your control. The features at the moment, as I was saying, it's free. We still haven't figured out what the best method, I think, is to purchase this service. Server for both environments is Windows Server 2012 R2. It will be updated as soon as there will be a new release. The remote desktop protocol is used as well as remote FX. And yeah, Office is there. Bring your own application that is now possible. Device platform, everything, but not, I think, Windows Phone, Windows RT, Mac OS X is coming soon. At the moment, we have it for iPads, for Android, and for Windows 7 and Windows 8. Microsoft account support, federated support is there. User data storage for 50 gig. What else? 20 users, it was 20, not 10, as I was saying earlier, for per Azure account. And you can actually request more if you need more for your test environment. So what I figured out is that the product group is really eager to get feedback and to help you to test this and really try it out. So if there is something you need or you're worry about or something, please let us know. I think it's feedback.connect.com or something, and there's a special section just for remote app. And this is where they collect the feedback, where they answer on your questions. I can, when I upload the slides, I will put the links to this forum there as well. This is not only feedback from the product group, it's also the community that is already trying and testing and having issues and helping each other out, because it's in preview, so you won't get a lot of documentation at the moment if you struggle with something. So you're relying on the community and on other people working on the service already. So I think I'm open for questions. First of all, I think I have one closer slide, so feedback please. I think you know all where the planner is. I think you downloaded maybe also the app. For Windows Phone, overall conference feedback, there's a link. And every feedback we receive will be like donated, so that's cool. Or for each feedback, they will donate for it. Good, so for now, I think that was my session, and I'm open up for questions. I think I have 10 minutes left. Do you want me to repeat the question, or do you want me to hand you over a mic? Can first you repeat the question and then I repeat it? So the question was, when does this service get general available? I don't have a date. So the question was, why is Microsoft using RDP and this kind of services instead of AppV? Do you know if AppV is available for all the different platforms? It's not. So, and we want to provide the service to as many platforms as possible, and application virtualization is not working for all the other platforms. But AppV is working with it, so if you have something on the server and you want to provide to your Windows users, it's working, it's compatible. Any more questions?
There are several remote desktop plans for Linux. Why is Linux not supported?
The question is, so there are a couple of remote desktop clients for Linux. Why is it not supported Thank you for the feedback, good feedback. I don't know. I know that we are working on it, and I heard from other product groups that we just figured out that it's a need to focus more on the Linux side as well. It's for RMS, for example, for rights management services. They are working now heavily on something that is available for the Linux platform as well. And I will hand this feedback over to the product group that it's also required and needed for the remote desktop service. Thank you. So the So the question is, if I would say a small business use this service, and the user uses Office or whatever, where do they store the files? So there is a 150 gig disk attached to each user, but it's not shared with the other users. So this is just a environment for a single, there's no infrastructure in the background that you would allow you to like start file sharing. It's just you can use the apps, and you should figure, you should think about something maybe in the cloud to store the files that can be in Office, so in OneDrive for business, for example. Of course, then you have to sign up for an Office 365 subscription, but then you can configure the users to be able to store the files using this one. Yeah. Anyone? Sam.
Hi. Hi.
We haven't talked about the question you allowed to ask me. So you were asking yesterday, so which question do you want me to ask you? And I haven't said anything, and now you have questions. Awesome. Yes, that's a workaround. That's a heavy data workaround. But yes, of course, Sam is right. So his suggestion was, because you can publish Outlook and you can use Outlook or something, you can then send this document around. But it's yeah, as I was saying, it's a workaround to maybe share files with your colleagues. But it's all about productivity here, and then really become productive quite easy. And then I think you also want to use the capabilities of the Office, like sharing the file, working on it simultaneously, and all this stuff. So this is not working. In the hybrid scenario, they can access everything. And maybe also in a not hybrid environment, they get access through publishing. You can publish SharePoint without hybrid remote apps. So maybe they can access the SharePoint site as well. And then, yeah, you can configure that. Good, no more questions? Thank you.